Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Rain Marine Electronics.
Morgan Hour 2 of The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. That's Bob Buchanan, Matt Nelson behind the glass. I'm Tom Nelson. And on the phone, my dear friend and part-time co-worker, Robert Ensley. Now, you're
morning, guys.
You're full-time, you're a full-time worker. I know that. How are things working in Southeast, Robbo?
Things are working, man. Yeah, it's been good. A big wave of Kings just showed up again. And, yeah, life is good here. Got some co-hosts coming in. And we're booching, Bob.
That a boy. Are they?
Life is good.
Do they have a fin on them?
They got everything.
Really?
Name it. Fin, spots, the teeth, no teeth. We even got one with no teeth the other day. We got a sockeye mooching the other day, which was cool. We get maybe one a summer. I've already cut two, so I've got like 2 years worth of quota on the sockeye now. But no, they're all biting. They're snapping good.
But the Chinook, are you running into any mark fish still?
Oh, a few.
Okay.
Yeah, a few. The mark rate seems to have gone down. But man, there's a lot of fish. I mean, they just came in the last, 3 days, 4 days. It's been good, but now it's like there's some pretty big wads of them out there. And one of our guests lost about a 50 plus.
A sea lion.
As it was going in the net. Half the fish was in the, it was on Troy's boat. They came in, they were just heartbroken. They were just like moping and down. And Troy was just like drinking heavily when he caught it, the fish was going in the net. It was halfway in the net, and the thing came up and grabbed it by the tail. A little tug of war ensued, and guess who won? The Seller Sea Lion won that battle, and off it went with this absolute pig of a Northern Canadian Chinook. But hey, that's the game you play in the Wild West.
Man. That's the food chain not working in your favor at that point. I love you like a brother, but I got a bone to pick with you, dude. I'm looking at your latest.
What's new?
I'm looking at your latest Instagram post, and you stole my line, my fish detector line for my beloved coho killer. Okay. So that's trademark Nelly. That's my description of that. But here's the deal. We've been using those down here. I love the way you're rigging those. So tell us what you're doing to those coho killers that extend their life, make the hooks bury a little bit better, and just overall work better. Tell us what you're doing to that. And those of you that haven't seen Rob Ensley's Instagram feed, go to @RobEnsley and look at what he just posted.
Well, the first thing you got to do, at least in my opinion, is I upgrade the hooks and I make them a lot bigger. And you and John Martinez got me going on that deal. You guys messed around, I think, for a couple of years with those hooks and discovered that these 5-aught hooks were fishing great. The hookup rate was way better. So you guys pointed me in that direction quite a while ago. And so I started running 5-aught hooks, but that extra weight of that hook, you've got to bend the heck out of the spoon.
Yes.
To keep the action.
True.
Otherwise, the weight of that hook just deadens the spoon. So just accentuate the bends on the spoon. Then I run a big swivel. I put a split ring on the tail. And I run a 100-pound swivel in there and right to the open-eye sidewash. Either run gamakatsus or mustads. I usually run mustads, but the open-eye sidewash gummies are killer too, the big river hooks. They're both just nasty. And that's it. You just gotta take those bends and really accentuate them. I mean, it's pretty drastic how much you bend those things. But that's it. And then they can spin and twist and do all kinds of stuff back there. They don't break the tail of that spoon off. I've got pictures of spoons with the tail broken off. You got a big king on there and they're called coho killers, but trust me, they're king killers.
Dude.
They're nasty, man.
And when the bait size is small, they absolutely dominate. And I would say out of the box, you maybe have like a 20-degree bend in those spoons. So there's two bends.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would take that and I would say 45-45. Close.
Oh, easy.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Easy. Double the bend or more.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
that's what we do. We're not trolling much now, but man, I tell you what, this year those coho killers are nasty. And then That Skinny G Gibbs, too. Those were kind of the A and B spoons on my boat and quite a few of the other boats. And then right now, I mean, with the kind of bait shortage going on with the green label herring, there's just not a whole lot of green label herring around. So we're running reds and oranges, mooching, and the little reds. They're little reds. They're not big reds. They're little. They don't get, I mean, they take a swipe at that bait and it's all hook. There's just hooks everywhere. You know, they can't chew on it and chomp on it and mess around with it. You know, they get in on that thing and it's all hooks. And then the little oranges, I'm running them whole. We got a way of hooking them so they spin. And you get in a big school of kings or coes. Anyway, you know, you just kind of flop the thing down there. Yeah. They're going to eat it. So
you've had to adjust your mooching leader size and hook size probably a bit, right?
I haven't, because all of my stuff was pre-tied. Okay. If I was tying it right now, I would have. I would have ran a 3-0 up front, maybe 2 3-0s. But all of our stuff is pre-tied, 2 4-0 Mustad Ultra Point hooks on 40-pound leader. But we're getting it all to spin, though. I just been playing with the hooks, and we're getting everything to spin really nice. And I tell you what, they come in on an orange label herring, it's going down the hatch. I mean, it's like, it's hammer time. I was pulling hooks out of their throats yesterday and out of their...
I mean, I love the grommet awesome. Grabs, dude. They inhale it right to the grommet, man. It's just...
Oh, man, yeah. So fun. And we were getting in these big wads of kings and coes yesterday. It's just like, it's awesome. 5-ounce kidney sinker. And hitting it on the drop, well, and how deep is it here? Like, well, it's still 100, it's been 150 feet deep all morning. We're in the same spot. We haven't left, you know.
I can't feel bottom. You're going to feel something in a minute here, buddy. Yeah, no question about it.
Bob's an old school moocher. Oh, Bob can appreciate all that stuff. He's been a moocher for a long time. So a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And so, all right, you said the C word, the coho. The coho are kind of... They're starting to show up down in Owako a little bit, but I mean, this time last year we had several marine areas, Robbo, that were closed because we hit the coho quota instead of getting the Chinook quota. Now this year, I mean, Nia Bay is at 2%, the push is at 0%, Westport is less than 5% through the coho quota, and Owako is only 10%. Now that's going to change this week. They feel like they hit, but what are you seeing up north with regard to those northern coho, buddy?
They're late. They just started coming.
They are.
I mean, they're a couple of weeks late. Yeah, they started pushing in pretty good here just this last few days. It's been kind of a pick. You know, one day you might get 15 or 20. One day you might get 2 or 3, 4, 5, 6, 8.
Right.
But now it's kind of like they're pushing in. They're kind of spreading out. They're kind of popping all over the place. And it's looking like, okay, it's going to go here now, you know. But, yeah, they're a little late up here for sure. And I would suspect probably the same way down there if you're not seeing them good yet. They're probably coming. They're probably off the west side of Vancouver Island or something, but you'll probably get them, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
And how about your beloved Ankarinka Skorbushka, your humpies? How about those?
Slow. Quiet.
Really?
Yeah, very quiet. Mm-hmm. They're late, too. They're very late. Yep. Got a lot of saner buddies up here, and they're scrambling around looking for them. But, yeah, they're late. They're late for sure.
What do they get? What are they getting?
Here.
What's the price for pinks right now? Just out of curiosity, for person.
I don't know. I know they're getting $1 a pound for chums. Yeah. They're getting everything's way up. Cohos are like $2.50 for the trollers. $2.50, $3 a pound. I mean, you know, the seafood thing's not crazy.
Yeah.
With COVID, people stuck at home. I don't know. The seafood thing's gone nuts. So
yeah, no question. It's weird because we had pinks start to show up in Puget Sound in June. You know, Joey and I got one on July 1st, in the opener of the San Juans, and I thought, here they come. And it's just like, maybe that was just kind of a little pilot run, but interesting. So, all right, buddy.
So, Bob, when you're – real quick question for Bob. When you're mooching down at Point Defiance or down in your neck of the woods, Clay Banks, are you running little herring, little hooks? What are you running down there, light leaders? What are you doing down there to get fish to go?
I'm trying to get out and jig the bigger ones. And on occasion, mm-hmm. You'll get two or three green labels, but the rest of them are fairly mm-hmm. small. So I'm a small hook guy. I've got 1 2-0s tied up and 2 3-0s tied up. And that's what I'm using.
Okay.
But I'm using a 2 to 2.5 ounce sinker and a eight mm-hmm. foot two piece leader and pretty light mm-hmm. gear. 12, I got 15 main. Then my first chunk of leader from the sinker mm-hmm. is 12. And then I go to a 10 pound leader for all the fish. So one mistake and he's gone. So
I know that's probably the only way to get bit though.
And there's nothing like, you know, reeling in, you mm-hmm. drop down to the bottom, you've reeled up, you reel up a couple more, and you reel up mm-hmm. a couple more mm-hmm. and you feel something.
Yeah.
Well, that something is a tail of a Chinook, either hitting your herring or hitting the leader above it, and you go right back down, and he turns around and gulps it, or he follows it and grabs it on the next pole, and the anticipation of waiting for that is awesome. That's why I do
it. Well, and then playing that game and not screwing it up.
Yeah.
You got to hang in there and not screw it up. You can't whiff. You can't swing for the fence. You've got to hold in there.
Cat and mouse, you got to get that. And that old reel I got, you know, it's just one-on-one. It's not a, it's a 1930-something reel, and you got to.
Is it a head in Winona? What is it?
It's a Winona.
Winona.
Made in the Great Lakes. And you crank and you feel the weight and you feel the weight, and you really got to get that rod tip buried before you set the hook and keep reeling. And then it's game on.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
All of our sponsors are so thrilled that we're talking about 1930 reel technology now. It's friggin' awesome. Rob Ensley, miss you, buddy. Hang in there. Stay safe. And keep in touch, my brother.
All right, guys. Go get them.
Take care, man.
We'll talk to you soon.
See you, Bob.
All right. We are very thankful to have American Pacific Mortgage and Mark Tilster, the home loan angler, bringing us the critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report next here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
The American Pacific Mortgage Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as the Sportsman Sports Center, is brought to you by the great folks at HomeLoanAngler.com, your guide to the most competitive rates, buy or refi.
Marine Area 9 and 10 open for Hatchery Chinook, the long-awaited, much-anticipated Admiralty Inlet and Central Puget Sound Selective Chinook and opener hit yesterday, and how it went depended on where you were at. Possession bar was fair, point no point was a bit better, but Nick Kester, all-star charters, knocked the snot bubbles out of him, popping an early limit for his clients at Mid-Channel Bank. The Area 9 quota is $4,700. Chuck, the Area 10 quota is a little bit over $3,700. Area 9 is earmarked to run through August 15th. Area 10 retention runs through August 31st, but neither one of those are going to make that mark. Don't wait. Get out there and get your Puget Sound Hatchery Chinook.
Baker Lake Sockeye opens today. WDFW opened the Baker Lake this morning with a 2 sockeye limit. Over the last 10 days, over 9,600 reds have been transferred to Baker Lake and will be ready to snap. Look for schooling fish on your sounder and troll solely 25 to 30 feet down at first light with a Les Davis Ott Dodger and a 12-inch leader with a bare hook covered with a little Mylar teaser. Better get them quick, though, with elevated temperatures in this lake this year. Expect the Bex action in this fishery in early July, because by mid-August, these rapid maturing sockeye will become less aggressive and their table quality will decline a bit. So get up to Baker Lake soon.
Coastal salmon catch update. Marine Area 1 El Waco, 2,700 anglers caught just under 200 Chinook and 2,900 coho for a tenth of a Chinook per rod, but over a Chinook per rod for coho and a 1.14 catch per rod. Through the second week of July, El Waco is only 10% through the catch quota of both Chinook and coho. Area 2 Westport, easily hottest fishery on the state, 2,000 anglers tallied, almost 1,000 Chinook and 500 coho for half a Chinook, a quarter coho, and a 0.75 overall catch per rod. Westport's 20% through the Chinook quota and less than 5% through the coho quota. No catch was recorded in Area 3 La Push, but in Marine Area 4, Nia Bay, 1,600 anglers caught 1,200 Chinook, 134 coho for three quarters of a Chinook and less than a tenth of a coho per rod, about 0.9 overall catch per rod. Nia Bay is at 39% of their catch quota and 142 coho, which is only 2% of the 5,700 area sub quota. The port of Nia Bay remains closed and must be accessed through CQ.
U.S.-Canada border could open to fully vaccinated Americans in August. Canada could open its border to fully vaccinated Americans for non-essential travel as early as mid-August. The news comes after Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's call with premiers on Thursday night, where Trudeau's provincial and territorial counterparts expressed their support of reopening plans. Meanwhile, Trudeau's cautious approach with the land border hasn't made him many new friends stateside, prompting some members of Congress to issue a statement urging Canadian government to open land border, arguing the necessity for such drastic measures has now expired. Hopefully we'll have some clarity this week on the Canadian border status, so stay tuned.
Several Puget Sound areas closing to Chinook. WDFW announced yesterday Puget Sound will, some areas will close earlier than anticipated for Chinook. The closures in Marine Area 5, CQ, the toilet bubble in the sky, are due in part to larger, higher than expected catch rates and significant angler participation, as well as low returns to some hatcheries. Marine Area 5, CQ closes Sunday night. As of July 15th, they were at 78% of the Chinook quota, so they're going to leave some left, and the area will remain open for coho and pinks. The sky will close the Chinook fishing beginning July 19th to help ensure the Wallace Hatchery meets its broodstock goals and the Tulalip Bubble, first time ever, closed until further notice. WDFW and co-managers have increased broodstock objectives for hatchery programs within the Snohomish watershed, with actual returns so far to the Bernard Gobin Hatchery are lower than expected.
Wildlife area units closed due to the Lick Creek fire. WDFW has closed several wildlife area units in southeast Washington for public safety due to the Lick Creek fire burning in Asotin County. As well, we have to give the firefighters some space to work and respond. Closed areas include the W.T. Wooten unit and the Chief Joseph Wildlife Area, the Asotin Creek and Weatherly units of the Asotin Creek Wildlife Area. WDFW's closures are in coordination with fire-related U.S. Forest Service closures on the Umatilla National Forest. WDFW expects that the wildlife area units may be closed for approximately a month or until conditions improve. Other areas could be closed as needed. Signs will be posted at all closed areas. Popular water access areas in the Ground Round River that are not within the closed wildlife area units will remain open at this time. For more info, hit insaweb.com.
The American Pacific Mortgage Northwest Outdoor Report has been brought to you by the great folks at HomeLoanAngler.com, your guide to the most competitive rates, buy or refi.
And I did look at NC Web this morning, and the whole Umatilla National Forest is closed. So that's both sides of the river. So that's Oregon and Washington right now.
Yep.
So watch it. If you're heading back there, that's an issue. And the smoke conditions back there are a brutality. If you remember last year, we had that smoke made it over to to Western Washington and choked us out pretty good. Same deal's going on there right now. But we have such a profound marine layer push that's coming in that's keeping us clean right now. So just another reason to just be thankful we're here in Western Washington while that's going on back there. And we absolutely hope and pray for the safety of the firefighters that are in that cauldron right now.
That's right.
That is not an easy gig, man. I tell you what,
it is not easy, and they're doing a fantastic job on a lot of these.
Put out a fire with a shovel on a hillside
on a hot day.
On a hot day, yeah, it's a young man's game. I turn in your yellow card right now. All right, I tell you what, the fishing is so hot on the Columbia River. You can see the smoke from here. Austin Mosier joining us next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's wheelhouse, brought to you by Wellcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Well, I got to look at this guy starting just below Grand Coulee Dam.
Right now, guys.
And then I got to look at him in Sitka. And then I got to look at
Oliver.
Then I got to look at him in Buoy 10. There we go. It's Austin Mosier.
Into the net. Into the net it goes.
Are you guys still there? Sorry.
Dude, not at all. Was that a Chinook?
No, sockeye. We just got our very last one. And I'm heading in for the pick up the second current.
Dude, thank you. Thank you for the radio fish. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, the bonker.
It was happening when I was on hold.
Did you hear the aluminum bonker?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a double to second field in the College World Series right there. Ding. Nice work, buddy.
So much fun.
It's all right. So, dude, how many people on board? That was sockeye number what? Number 12 for the day or what?
That was yes. No, 14. Number 14. I'm telling you, we hooked like 35 to get there. I got this guy in the front of my boat, Micah, great guy, but boy, I tell you what, he farmed off some fish today. For sure.
I feel your pain, dude. I absolutely feel your pain. Give us your setup. You used to fish these on downriggers, but you don't do that no more.
Nope, don't need to do that no more. I create more flash. I have more attractants by running 6 rods with lead. And if you guys want to reel those up, we'll get them put away here. Yeah, I'm running 5 ounce cannonballs with a bumper, about a 24 inch bumper to a Les Davis Ott Dodger. I really like those Les Davis ones, but can't get them anymore.
No, you can't.
Dude, they're awesome. Yeah. So then we got about a 16 to 18 inch leader behind that with one of those raised bait, coon shrimp on there. Those things are awesome. Best bait on the market right now. So we're enjoying that.
Yeah, no question. So it was funny because Bob Buchanan walked in and he goes, "Hey, you think Austin Mosier will be on the water this morning?"
You can pretty much bet just about any time you think about it, I am on the water. Yeah, no, so we're out in the water 300 days a year almost.
Yeah, got a baby. So.
No question, man. You do. Yeah. You burn it. You burn it hard, buddy, as hard as anybody. There's no question about it.
Guys.
So, all right. Yeah. Well, so paint us a picture. Where are you at? Where'd you put in? What's your story, Morning Glory?
Yeah, so I launch out of Pateras because I run up. The Brewster can have a big line, but Pateras doesn't have much parking, so you got to be careful if you launch there getting a parking spot. So Brewster will have a big line. There's a lot of guys that fish up there, but it's a bigger launch, and you're able to get in and out quicker. It's a two-person launch where the other one isn't. We're in the Brewster pool. And we are here with 250 of my very best friends right now. And that's 250 boats, not 250
people. Wow.
So,
how cool, man.
It's amazing.
And everybody's catching fish.
And it's like most of the time it don't matter what way you're going, but it's like driving down the freeway backwards. You know, boats coming at you 10 wide. And you got to pick and weave through them all.
Just really relaxing fishery. Just, you know, you got to have your head on a swivel. And you're running six rods. And, oh, boy, man. Yeah.
Pure chaos.
Do you get doubles and triples at this?
We do. We get a lot of that. I was getting four and five on the other day couple of times. And we don't always get them because it's a scramble. I got three nets in my boat, and we used all three that day, and I had two fish in one net. It was very interesting.
Yeah. But I tell you what, man, you're getting sharp. you're sharp as a tack, dude. You are absolutely on the program right now. So okay. So now you it's all your fault. You're up against the catch quota now, getting close to it there in that stretch of river, and so you're going to have to transition over to Chinook. Tell us how that changes with regard to your tackle, your tactics, your time of day, and your place in the river, buddy.
Yeah, so we're going to be the quota is going to be met on Sunday. You know, we only get 7,000 fish here, and they let us roll until Sunday. They think we're going to be a little bit over on our quota, but it's not going to hurt it too bad. So they let us roll, which we all are very thankful that they did. Then we're going to start going after Chinook. I got 4 days left fishing before I get my new boat to get it rigged to get ready for Buoy 10, which I'm really excited about. Buoy 10 is going to be awesome this year. And so we are going to move downriver. There'll be a lot of guys that will still fish Brewster Pool because this is where the fish are coming. They're going to stack up here on that thermal climb, and we are going to pound on them. And I might be here. If the fishing's really good, I might be here. But this guy's got a fish on right next to me. I'm going to go down to Chelan Falls probably and fish down that way because there's a larger concentration of hatchery fish down there because of the hatchery.
Gotcha.
Up here in the Brewster Pool, we're getting a lot, you know, almost, for me, it's been almost 50% wild fish to hatchery fish for kings. So that's the challenge of here. You can catch the fish, but you have to let go of a lot of them.
Austin Moisher joins us this morning, austinsnorthwestadventures.com. And since you started talking about Buoy 10, now I'm thinking about Buoy 10. And so a little different management scheme this year. Last year we had all of 13 days, 14 days to fish that fishery. This year I believe it's hatchery Chinook only until the 11th of August. And then
I think it's the 7th, isn't it?
I don't know. We'll figure that out.
Maybe it is the 11th.
You're right. Yeah, it lays in my mind it's a double-figure deal. So after that, both hatchery and wild Chinook and hatchery coho are fair game. Limit was one last year. Limit's two this year. One Chinook, one coho, or I think two hatchery coho, I think, is the deal. But I'll double-check on that, too. With what's going,
I've also heard that once the Chinook closes, it'll go to a three fish limit on the coho, was what someone told me. But I haven't looked at the rigs yet. I'm still wrapping my head around all this up here, and I'm getting ready for that down there. Though I'm excited.
Yeah, no doubt. And so, dude, you got to be licking your chops because I'm watching what's going on at Westport right now, and I'm watching the Cat's Rage starting to climb at Owako. I think we're standing on the precipice of a Chinook fishery. That's not only going to be prolific with regard to the numbers, but I think we're going to see big fish down there this year, buddy. We're going to see 30-pounders down there and bigger.
Oh, boy. You know, I usually get a handful of 30-pounders every year down there, but I'd love to get two handfuls of that. yeah, so the coho, you know, they got a huge numbers coming. You know, everybody's excited about that. We're looking at like 1.4 million-ish fish coming back in the cohos. And, you know, I hope we get, if we get half of that, I'm going to be very, very happy. So, I'm just totally looking forward to that one down there.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. I can't wait to get down there and see and compare notes and get all that stuff going on. It's just, you know, buoy 10 is such an amazing fishery, and especially, you know, you and I spend a bit of time on the downriggers, right? And so watching a strike on the downriggers is okay. It's fun, right? I dig it. But man, to have a 25 or 30 pound Chinook try to rip the rod off the side of your boat, man. When, you know, it's just, is there anything like that in all the fisheries that you do, you know, sturgeon notwithstanding, some of the most violent, horrifying strikes are down at Buoy 10.
No, I love it. And you know, we're using big leads and those fish are still running across the top of the water at, you know, 10, 20 miles an hour. I don't even know how fast they're going, but it looks fast. And we're just trying to catch up, and it is an exciting thing to see a 30-pound king or even a 20-pound king just ripping line out of a rod.
And not afraid, Jim.
Dude, so much fun. Yeah. So much fun. All right, so Sunday's the last day for sockeye retention, but the Chinook deal has legs there in Central Washington. You're gonna stay on that program for a while, or a couple more
days. We got good numbers of Chinook coming. I mean, we're above the 10-year average for our summer kings. And, you know, the kings up here, that's the thing with Buoy 10. The kings at Buoy 10, they're biters, man. They're feeding.
Yeah.
They're aggressive. They get up here, they're biting out of instinct.
Right.
And it can be a little bit tougher up here to get them to bite. So we're playing around with a lot of different things, different colors and scents and, you know, leader lengths and all that
so
stuff to try to entice them to bite.
So you already mentioned what you're fishing, the Ott Dodgers, a little bit of coon stripe or coon shrimp from Raised Baits for the sockeye, but for the Chinook, you're spinners and pro trolls all day long.
Yep, spinners, pro trolls, and we're doing some of those other deals called super baits.
Gotcha.
And they work pretty good. The spinners have been very good the last 3 or 4 years up here. It's kind of starting to take over a little bit, and so we're getting pretty much on both of those. I know some diehard guys though that still catch them on herring and dodge, and they do really well. I tell you what, and they just got some of Joey's red labels, and they're really excited about it because it's been hard to get herring.
Oh boy, just brutal, no doubt, buddy. Yeah. All right, man. Well, you keep in touch. Good job today. Good job getting Joey in a nice Chinook last weekend, and keep in touch, man. Well, before you know it, we'll be looking at each other over from Astoria, buddy.
Good luck on the next crew. Go. Get them out there.
All right. You guys have a great day. Thanks for having me.
All right, Austin. Thanks buddy. Austin's NorthwestAdventures.com. If you are fortunate enough to get an open window with that cat, go fish with him. He's a stick. He's passionate. He's fun to be on the boat with and everything else. Austin's NorthwestAdventures.com. Coming up next, the hottest report we heard all week and the techniques you need to succeed. It's RoyRobinsonRV.com's Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle.
No way.
You gotta be kidding me.
Really?
Where?
It's coming back. The island of Tinny and the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
Ocean Journey Red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonRV.com's
Really? Where?
Where? RoyRobinsonRV.com will take you anywhere. Really?
158-55 Smoky Point Boulevard in Marysville is where you're going to find the all-new Roy Robinson RV Center. Doesn't matter what you're looking for. Class A diesels, Class A motorhomes, Class Bs, Class Cs, Super Cs, motorhomes, travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, pop-ups, or whatever. You're going to find it all and more. RoyRobinsonRV.com. Okay, Bob, the hottest report you've heard all week, and we'll run down a little technique deal.
Mm-hmm.
What have you heard? What's the deal?
The hottest one I've heard has been mid-channel.
Yeah, there's no question.
Hands down, nope. has been that. Three out of four of my buddies. I mean, a couple of them pulled one at Craven before they went there,
yep.
But that's been the spot.
Yeah, I even made, you know, a couple false moves before I got there yesterday,
right.
And still got them. Right. And so, you know, I had to stop and look at possession and just kind of get a read on it, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't stay very long, right? I mean, I looked and – and got a couple shakers, and I'm kind of looking around, not seeing another Nets fan. I just got had the itch so bad, and Nicky was already on his way out there, and Kester just he bombed a quick limit, and so the deal there, obviously it's a go with the flow deal. Typically, when you want to see that series of creamy ebb tides to really start getting fish sucked in, pulled around a corner, right? But and so a flood is not necessarily the best tide to go fish mid channel, but it fished really really well yesterday on that flood. Now, part of that is due to the fact that nobody's had any gear in the water there probably in 10 months, right? And so the habitat was relatively undisturbed with regard to downrigger balls and flashy things and hooks, right? And so they're going to gang up, right? And but now we saw that big flash yesterday. Are they still catching fish there today? Yeah. They're probably not catching half of what we saw yesterday. So it's anybody's guess how long it's going to last. I wouldn't wait. I mean, both of these fisheries, if you remember back to Marin Pacific's Mortgage's Northwest Outdoor Report, we talked about the regulation package for this thing says that it's going to roll through the 15th of August.
Ain't
going to make it. It may not make it to August, okay? So get out there and get them now. Area 10 was surprisingly good yesterday, especially – when you consider the fact that a lot of the resident coho fishermen weren't really encountering that many Chinook incidents.
Richmond Beach area oil docks produced pretty good. I know a few guys that got them at point, no point, but I think you're going to see more and more people. Obviously, there's more people out on the weekend. Possession's right. Going to be pretty crowded, but there's going to be a lot of folks that if they don't get all their fish at mid-channel or point, no point, they're going to hit possession this afternoon.
Yeah.
They're going to do it, and we're going to – I mean, my plan is Wednesday, Thursday, mid-channel.
Yeah, I love it. That's a great plan. Who are you fishing with?
Mr. Martinez.
Oh, you are? Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll probably be looking at you then. I'm gonna be out there, every day that I possibly can, including today. Kathy's gonna grab one of her workout buddies from the gym and her husband, and so we got to go bomb. I'm going to be shooting out of the Port of Everett here. if I don't get pulled over speeding between Seattle and Everett, hopefully we'll be cutting the lines at 9 o'clock and getting out there. But and so a lot of guys are going to be limited and gone. I'm starting to get reports already that the west side of possession has been pretty good. I haven't heard much from mid-channel yet today, but I know I will shortly when I start looking around. But you got to play the tide game out. And the flow of the water, the direction of the water is absolutely going to drive where you're going to be. The other thing that I was really, really surprised about was, I was expecting there to be dogfish everywhere, and there really wasn't. So, interesting.
That's cleaned up. Down in Area 11, we've had, it just seems like it's a weekly occurrence of a pod of whales or a shot of whales going through and feasting on the seals and moving on.
Interesting.
They bless us with their presence for
so you got the trans
once a week, and those transients come through and clean things up pretty good and get out of there. And then when the seals start to build up again, guess who's back?
I love those transients.
Their timing is great.
That's awesome. I did not see him yesterday. We ran out of towns and I'm back, but I didn't see him yesterday. Seeing the orcas on Puget Sound is just whale I'm in. And in fact, Kathy and I got kayaks recently, so we can't wait for the whales to come by our beach and we go chase, the whales.
It's fun to watch. The guys, they shut their gear down, pull their gear up, lift their props out of the water, shut their electronics off, and open up the cell phones. They don't go in because you're surrounded. By the time
there's nothing
you can do.
You
can't go anywhere.
No, there's nothing you can do. No, absolutely not. So then we're looking at this fishery and looking at, contrasting it with what we learned about the Area 9, Area 10 fishery last year. Last year was, completely different animal. We don't have the amount of bait in Puget Sound that we don't have the amount of small, little, tiny herring that we had this time last year because of that profound herring spawn last year. But there is, and then the fish that we caught yesterday had those young of the year, 1.5-2-inch herring in them, and I didn't see any sand lance in any. In fact, there wasn't a lot of gut contents in the salmon that we got yesterday. In fact, the only fish we had, Dory Monson's fish, had some in his stomach, but not much, and no big ones either.
I saw a fish with 2 4-inch squid.
Nice.
In him. And I have my last two trips out, I'm marking the squid.
So if you're at mid-channel and you're not marking bait, definitely still keep looking for birds because they're still there. But keep moving. Keep moving. Do not, and I mean, Some guys will stay in one location and make short little drifts. Man, you know, you need to fish that sucker from, you know, from Point Wilson, you know, clear to freaking Nodule Point. You know, yeah. Just, I mean, go figure out where those things are. But then, you know, you can get away from that area too and still find fish. You know, you can find fish off of Double Bluff. You can find fish off of, you know, off of Skunk Bay. You can find fish off of Foulweather Bluff. You know, just you look around and use your fish finder and use your eyes. And you're not necessarily looking for concentrations of boats, but look for birds.
Yeah. Keep an eye on that fish finder. When you see that big, long stretch of bait on the bottom in the middle of that tide, and then all of a sudden it starts to glob up down there. That means they're being irritated by someone.
Okay. That's an excellent point. So when you see schools of bait that are diffuse, they're not, you know, and you don't see arches in the, you know, anywhere. They're, you know, you just there's a happy school of bait. But what happens when predators come? They school, and so they all seek safety. The herring all seek safety. They ball up
in numbers,
and so that's the fright formation, and that's the difference. The subtleties of looking and understanding what that sonar is trying to tell you. And I don't know about you, but I have never had sonar performance like I have with a Raymarine Chirp. The 1KW stuff is, you know, it's like an MRI of the bottom. I mean, I'm watching lures go up and down. I'm watching flashers rotate. I'm watching salmon crash bait balls.
Down there, we're picking up the dogfish above and below them, and they just casually swim along and pick off a herring at the top or the bottom. But then all of a sudden when things clump up, you start seeing arches and you're jigging or mooching your heart out.
So I got a couple texts that just came in specifically for you, and one of them is going to be on topic here. I need a new transom mount transducer for my unit. Is a wide beam worth it? Yes. Here's what I would suggest you do. I would get that TM275HW. That's a 1 kilowatt high chirp and the HW stands for high wide. That wide angle beam is going to give you much more information on what's going on underneath your boat. Mm-hmm. And if you're not chirping, you're not running high chirp, you're not getting full performance. Also, transom mount transducers are wear items on your boat. They get flogged dragging behind that boat. Sticks that you don't see, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. And if you're a trailer boat, even more so, go look at the front of your license plate, okay, of your boat trailer. Go look at the front of that thing. Does it look like it's taking a couple rounds of buckshot? Yeah. Mm. Well, guess what else? That also is hitting your transom mount transducer. Yeah. And anytime you distort the surface of that transom mount transducer, it introduces bubbles across the face of it, which introduces interference into your pitcher. They don't last forever. They're like tires on your trailer. You've got to replace your transom mount transducer periodically. How often? Just depends on how many times you've shot peened that thing going down the road. Ask Bob from the 206, how is crabbing in Marine Area 11?
Marine Area 11 was, we worked hard on the opener.
Gotcha.
We did our typical drop them at, last year we started at 50 feet, and every 20 feet dropping, we took 6 pots out. Every 20 feet, we dropped a pot, and then in 30 minutes, those quick soakers, we pulled them, checked the right depth, and then pounded that depth. This year, because we got so many rock crabs in at 50, we didn't start until 75 feet.
Gotcha.
Worked out to 122 with 6 pots. Went down, made 2 passes at the clay banks, came back. We had 8 crabs, 6 of them at 122 feet.
Nice.
Bombed them all at 122 to 141 feet. Came back 6 hours later, and we had 10.
Yeah.
So I think what's happened, you know, we had dinner. It's not great. I mean, last year we were getting 20s in one pot.
Gotcha.
The numbers aren't there, but I definitely think down there in Area 11, especially at Restaurant Row where we go, the red rock crabs have just taken over 0 to 75.
Hmm.
They've just taken over the bottom.
Well,
that's all there is to it. You got to – try deeper in 11. Tomorrow, I'll be doing crab bait this afternoon, and my pots are going straight to Dash Point. I'll be dropping it at probably 4:39 tomorrow morning.
4:39, which is legal hunting daylight right there. And I love the fact you're making bait today because
it'll be deep.
Yeah, I do that, dude. I'm a bait nerd too. One of these days we're going to do that. Bob, thank you so much for coming.
You bet,
today, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
And check out, you know. BOMAC on Facebook. Make sure BEAUMAC, BOMAC Tackles, now on Facebook. Make sure you jump on that. If you missed any of the show, make sure you jump on MyNorthWest.com, get the podcast, or TheOutdoorLine.com, or your iTunes app for that. Give us follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at The Outdoor Line. For Matt Nelson behind the glass, for Bob Buchanan, a BOMAC Tackle, I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.